Bing bong. Padded Room Radio is back on the air. My name is Darian. I am back for another week of horror bullshit. I got all kinds of things coming at your face this weekend, mates. I even got Buddy.
Yeah.
What's up, Buddy? Buddy.
Oh, you know.
Yeah. What are you going to do?
Yeah.
I'm still alive.
Yeah.
That's all I got to say about that. I made it.
It was a great weather out there. Got to ride the bike today. So
nice. Yeah. Last 2 days. It's been pretty nice here in Reno.
Yeah.
Two days previous to that, the weekend.
We had snow on Easter.
Was shit. It was a shit weekend, man.
Yeah.
God damn it. Me and some friends stayed at the GSR. Awesome. The Red Queen and her husband.
Yeah.
Had a good time, played laser tag, did all that fun shit.
Very cool.
Next morning, wake up, think we're going to the pool. No. I mean, we're still going, but it's fucking freezing cold outside.
How was the pool? Was it warm enough for you?
So they only opened the infinity pool. It was probably... It wasn't like...
Isn't that movie?
Infinity Pool? Yeah, there is an Infinity Pool. Or is that the one at the GSR, I just call it Chlamydia.
Oh, okay, Chlamydia Pool.
All the douchebags hang out normally.
Oh.
Well, we were the only douchebags there that day.
Yeah.
Because I think it probably topped out at like 52 degrees or something. Ooh. It was pretty chill.
Yeah. They have a hot tub?
They do have like 8 or 10 hot tubs.
So oh,
those
shit.
Were all fired up.
Okay.
So we would go in the pool... until we couldn't take it anymore, and then go get in the hot tub and then jump back in the pool. All while it's freezing rain outside.
Yeah.
I don't know how we're not all dying of pneumonia right now.
Right.
Maybe it's just me. Maybe
sounds like a good time regardless, though.
Oh, yeah, totally. Let's go jump in the ice water. It'll be fun.
Yeah.
I'm used to it.
It's a precursor.
It is. I got the ice tank. I'm used to it. Good times, man. How was your week?
It's good.
Yeah?
Yeah. So my Aiden's at a facility treatment, a little rehab that they do like physical therapy and a
very
bunch
cool.
of stuff. And they give him baths every other day and
nice.
Blah, blah, blah. But yeah, I get to hang out there with him on the weekends. My ex is with him all through the week. Mm-hmm. He just went there last Tuesday and he'll be there for 30 to 90 days. So
nice.
It could be a long haul every weekend. There I am.
There you are. There
yeah.
goes your weekends, dude.
Yep.
Gone in the wind.
Yeah.
That sucks. But at least he's doing better.
Yes.
Right? Okay.
Yeah.
Well, that's all that matters.
Mm-hmm.
Well, we got a regular horror show to get into here. Knuckleheads, we got horror news, listener mail, all the fun stuff. How about we kick things off with a little of the old horror news there, buddy?
Yeah.
Horror news.
All right, go ahead.
So, NECA just made a life-size Megan doll that you can purchase. Now, I'm not going to say the cost yet. I have a feeling you already know how much it is.
I do.
Okay. So, while you're waiting, Blumhouse and NECA have joined forces to create a screen-accurate life-size Megan doll. And it's...
Somebody's going to try and fuck it.
Oh, I know.
I'm going to tell you right now.
Yeah.
There is a creepy dude out there. His name may or may not be Jason Harrell. And he is going to buy it, and he is going to put his penis all over it.
Right? Yeah. So they announced this on April Fool's Day.
Right.
But it is not an April Fool's
Day
joke.
No, you can do it.
Yes, you can actually order it now.
They
came out
the
second. Oh, you did, huh?
I did.
It's still available, and it's real, and it's creepy, too. So, yeah, the cost. Are you ready for this?
I already know, but go ahead.
$500.
I know.
Okay, let's talk about the fabric.
Okay.
All right, so the fabric material of her dress matches an exact swatch of the dress from the movie. Her shoes are customized with details from the screen-used shoes.
Yeah.
You know... Oh, I know I had something else in here.
So, I think my problem... I like Megan. It's fine. I don't know that I need to... I don't know that I need Megan. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So, like, if you made, like, a nuts-on replica of, say... The axe from The Shining.
That would be pretty cool.
I don't know that I would go 500 on it, no, but I would probably. No. I'll probably throw you a
couple hundred.
Yeah, you know.
Worst case, couple hundred.
You know, a replica of.
Now, if it's signed.
Well, that that's gonna you could sell that at auction.
Yeah.
But I don't know, man. It's a little too soon for. I don't think there's any Megan super fans out there.
I think there is. I mean, they're getting ready.
But they're weirdos and they're trying to fuck these things.
Yeah, I would say probably more for the younger crowd.
Okay.
Yeah.
Younger crowd doesn't have $500.
But it has an articulated inner armature.
Oh, yeah.
Movable eyes.
Oh, yeah.
Synthetic hair. Uh-huh. Mash the screen, use hair samples.
Yep.
Her clothing is made from film use patterns and includes a dress with inner lining, two striped sleeves, a bow tie, underwear, tights, and shoes.
Awesome.
Yeah.
There are pedos lining up.
Oh, my gosh. I bet.
Yuck.
Yeah. All yours for $500.
Oh, good. Hey, if it'll keep you away from the playground, go right ahead.
Right. I guarantee you somebody's going to try to turn it into a fuck doll.
So I guarantee it. Mm-hmm. I guarantee that. Ugh.
So did you like the Pope's Exorcist?
Yes, I did.
Well, there are some updates. Starting off with a sequel. And not only just a sequel, there's also talks of a trilogy.
I heard that.
Yeah.
I'm into it.
Yeah, I'm not sure if Russell Crowe's actually going to be in all three, but they are saying, you know, they made it where he's got the intro. They could or could not use him if they choose.
Okay. I would prefer a Pope's Exorcist, like, expanded universe.
Yeah.
Where you don't
need... It was a great movie.
It was all right. The only problem I had was they got a little crazy with the CGI there at the end.
Oh, yeah.
But I don't know that we need big, fat, 300-pound Russell Crowe as Father Amorth.
Yeah.
I don't know. Whatever you want to do. I'll check it out.
Mm-hmm. Did you like Jack in the Box? The movie.
I like the tacos. Tacos ain't bad.
The movie.
I've seen it. It was I'm going to say it was okay.
Yeah.
And very little. I remember very little about it.
Yeah. So 2019, that's when the first one came out.
Yes.
2022, Jack in the Box Awakening.
Right.
So next, part three is Jack in the Box Rises.
Okay.
It's a brand new sequel. Comes to VOD and DVD on April 9th, 2024 from 4 Digital Media.
Okay.
So, and you can actually watch the trailer now.
All right. I mean... Do we need to do a deep dive on Jack in the Box?
Well, you know, it is going to an all-girls boarding school. Oh. That change your mind?
All right, now. Let's not pass judgment just yet.
Yeah, that's what I thought.
Oh, well, all right. You've got my interest.
All right. I'll say no more. All right, that's all I got. What do you got?
All right, you motherfucker. Now that you've stolen most of my stories... David Bruckner is in talks for a Hellraiser sequel. Now, he did the 2022 Hellraiser.
Uh-huh.
What did you... Oh, you're scrunching your face. Yeah. You didn't like it?
No.
I rewatched it recently, and I will say that I'm not mad at it. The only problem I have... I don't have a problem with female Pinhead.
Right.
In the book, the books, the character was always kind of androgynous. It was sexless. So, whatever, it's fine. I just didn't like the look of the Cenobites and Pinhead.
Right.
And I get what they were going for. It was kind of more of a steampunk situation.
Yes.
But they were all pink.
Right.
I don't like that.
Mm-hmm.
I can't have pink Cenobites, buddy.
Right.
They got to wear the black leather, man.
Mm-hmm. That's what it was all about.
They're still in talks, so nothing's set yet, but hopefully we can rectify that in the, whatever we're doing here. Looks like Universal's Wolfman has been pushed back to 2025.
Of course.
This could be interesting. Directed by Lee Whannell.
Okay.
Who also directed The Invisible Man in 2020. So maybe Maybe this is our Universal Monster reboot situation that we
maybe
got fucked off with the Mummy.
Yeah, as soon as they brought in Tom Cruise.
How dare you?
That ending, though.
The ending of what? The Mummy?
Mm-hmm.
I know. I know it's a bad movie. Is it the worst thing I've ever seen in my life? No.
No.
I've seen far worse, and I will have sex with Sophia Boutella right now.
Yeah.
I don't care if he does have a dick. I'll fucking suck it. I don't care. He or she or they or them, they're sexy. Whatever they are. I don't know.
They can make a little mummy doll.
Hey. Hey now. Now you're now 500, 600? What do we say?
500?
Looks like Samara Weaving is attached to a Ready or Not 2 script that is going around.
Mm-hmm.
I'm into that. Did you see Ready or Not?
Yes.
You like it?
Yeah, it was all right.
I liked it. I thought it was pretty good. It's kind of like The Purge if it was contained in one house and all directed at one person.
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of like Die Hard, but with...
somebody else.
And a weird sense of old-timey... Like Die Hard meets Clue. In a weird, the old mansion and all the weird weapons and all that shit.
Mm-hmm.
I dug it. I'm excited for a sequel. That's all we got on the horror news, amigo. You ready for some listener mail?
You betcha.
Listener mail.
Yeah, buddy. No emails this week. We do have a voicemail or two lined up.
All right.
You ready for this shit, dude?
Yeah, of course.
I don't know who these people are.
All right.
I don't know why they want to talk to us.
We're about to find out.
Let's get over to beautiful downtown Anderson, Indiana. Here comes our main man, Coop Newcomb.
Yeah.
Good evening. Guys,
what's up, Coop?
Hi.
Huh?
It's a solo show, Darian. That's okay. We all still love you.
Oh, thank you very much.
Anyway,
Coop.
I got the call going on for Three on a Meat Hook.
Okay.
I think you said this week was witches.
Yes, sir.
And anyway, here we go. Okay. I've got for number three, there was a series a while back. I can't remember what platform it was on. I didn't watch the full thing, but what I did watch, I did enjoy, which was a series called Salem.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
I remember that. Entertaining enough. I liked it.
Yeah,
sure.
Number two, I have Hellbender. Not real flashy, kind of low budget, but I liked the storyline. I thought they did a pretty good job with PFX.
Okay.
The acting was pretty decent.
The Addams Family.
And my number one's going to be Warlock.
Oh,
wow.
Okay.
Technically not a witch, or is it a dude witch? Whatever.
Dude witch.
That's what I have. You guys have a good evening.
Right on.
Dude witch. Sounds like some kind of a burger that you would order. Give me a dude witch.
Hold the condom.
Oh. Okay, I didn't say it was going to be a gay thing, buddy. Damn. Right on, Coop. Thanks for calling in. I didn't know we were including, TV shows. Which is fine.
Yeah,
I don't care
fine,
on the meat hook. Yeah. If we were, I definitely would have thrown American Horror Story Coven in there.
Mm-hmm.
Still my favorite season of American Horror Story. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Right on, Coop. Thanks for calling in, amigo. Let's get down to our main man in Alabama. Alan's in the house.
Hey, what's up, Alan?
Up the Irons. I enjoyed the Iron Maiden. Anyway, Meat Hook, witch movies. I'm going to go number one, The Witch. Number two, Lords of Salem. And number three, I'm going to go with Witching and Bitching.
Witching and Bitching.
I meant to come in and be like, well, first I was going to do The Witches, Hocus Pocus 1, and Hocus Pocus 2.
Get the fuck out of here.
I meant to do that first, but
this
I didn't.
Guy.
I would have
anyway,
called bullshit.
Mr. Darian, are you session 9?
You got me.
So Blair Witch 2, I remember going to see it in theaters, and at the time liking it a whole lot more than the first one.
Really?
I don't think I've seen it since then.
Okay.
I remember seeing that Kim Diamond, smoking hot.
Yeah, buddy.
What else was this? Oh, with all the crow stuff, me and Shelley and Rhiannon, this, her best friend's kid, who's like our kid, we all watched the original.
Attaboy.
She really liked it.
All right.
We showed her the trailer for the new one, and she was like, this looks like shit.
Oh.
I'm down with all the violence in the remake trailer, but, I mean, it looks fucking ridiculous.
Well.
Anyway, then I decided to watch Wicked Prayer.
Oh, to see? Wow. Now, you still want to talk shit about the remake?
I don't think I hate it as much as Demon Wind.
Oh, yeah.
Or Veronica, but
eee.
It was really, really bad.
Yeah.
He does his crow makeup with a friggin' Sharpie.
Why not?
Anyway, why not? Mr. Darian, I forget if I said something. Are you session 9?
Yes, I am, sir.
That's all I got. Y'all have a good one. Bye.
Beautiful.
Right on,
Alan. Thanks for calling in.
Mm-hmm.
I did a little crow research myself.
Did you now?
I'll get to that. And what are you looking at?
All right.
I feel like I just watching the trailer for the upcoming Crow remake. I'm excited because it looks very fucking violent and very bloody, and it doesn't necessarily look like a kung fu movie. Which, cool. Let's be honest, that's what the first one was, right?
Right.
It was a kung fu movie. Mm-hmm. I'm not saying it's bad or I hated it or I didn't like it, but let me pose this interesting question to you. If Brandon Lee does not die making that movie, do we still talk about it the way we do today?
I think so.
How many...
Well, it depends on if he makes a sequel or not.
That's what I was about to say.
Yeah.
How many shitty sequels to The Crow would we have got? Not that we didn't get some shitty fucking sequels, obviously, but... How,
would he have signed up for the sequels?
I don't know.
And if he was in the sequels, would they have changed the script?
I imagine so.
Yeah.
I imagine
so.
So
it'd be a different movie altogether.
Yeah. I don't know, man. It's just food for thought.
Yeah.
Oh,
definitely.
He watched Wicked Prayer. That is the...
Silly.
Edward Furlong is the crow. Whenever Tara Reid shows up... if she's not going to take her top off, I don't think I'm interested. I don't know that she has taken her top off in a movie.
I don't think so.
All right. Thanks for calling in, Alan. I got a little crow news myself. I'll get to later.
Maybe she will in one of the next Sharknados or something. Tits arise.
Titnado.
Titnado.
Have you seen her recently?
No.
She looks, she's had some work done. And she, it looks like it was done by, she got
Underground?
It on, she got it on a budget.
Oh, yeah. Sometimes cheaper isn't better.
Especially when it comes to that.
Right.
Pay the extra for whatever you need. Thank you very much, Coop. And, Alan, I think it's time to get into a movie, buddy.
Yes.
Let's do it.
Yeah.
Open the door!
No!
Come on, man, those things are right behind us!
It's too late! Go find someplace else to hide!
Oh, you bastard!
They're gonna come soon, okay?
What are we looking for?
Yeah, Sheriff. What are these things?
They're dead things.
Ah!
It is Flesh Eater, buddy.
Yes.
From 1988.
Mm-hmm.
4.9 stars on IMDb. Written and directed by Bill Hinsman. Also somewhat starring Bill Hinsman.
Yeah.
Yes, sir. And John Moward and Leslie Ann Wick. It's got an R rating.
It definitely has an R rating.
It does. It's got everything you need, this movie.
Yes.
Is it a good movie?
No.
No.
But that's why I got 4.9.
I'm telling you. I love the shit out of this movie. I'm going to tell you right now.
Imagine if there was no nudity in this, what the rating would be. 2.5?
Probably. Something like that.
Yeah.
So this is actually supposed to be a unofficial sequel to Night of the Living Dead.
Mm-hmm.
Well, Bill Hinsman, the writer, director, and main zombie, was the very first zombie that we saw in Night of the Living Dead.
Right.
The guy that's staggering across the cemetery, they're coming to get you, Barbara. That was him. And then he went on to start making his own movies after that. He was George Romero's cameraman.
Mm-hmm.
And then he thought he would try to get bit by the indie film zombie bug and strike out on his own in 1988 with Flesh Eater. Yes, sir. Flesh Eater, buddy.
Yeah.
We start off out. We're right back where we left off in Night of the Living Dead.
Yes.
We're out in rural Pennsylvania. Outskirts of Pittsburgh, as we are wont to do.
Mm-hmm.
We're starting off on Halloween night. Took me a while to figure out that this was supposed to be Halloween night.
Would the party give it away?
The party, well, the party and the trick-or-treaters, yeah.
Yeah.
We got some kids going on a hayride slash camping trip, I think.
Yeah.
But they didn't bring any sleeping bags. All they brought was beer and like a boombox. And not enough beer for everybody.
No.
You got 8 kids, and by kids, they're probably in their early 30s.
You know what they did bring?
Denim.
Denim.
A lot of denim.
A lot
buddy.
Of denim.
Oh, shit. That's how I know we're in Pittsburgh, because the fucking denim in this place.
Holy cow.
Anyway, so it's a tractor hayride out into the middle of the woods, and then the farmer drops them off, and they start hanging out, setting up their little campsite. It doesn't matter what their fucking names are, because
no.
Most of them are going to be dead here in a couple minutes. We start off with 8 of them, and everything's going cool. One of the guys, Eddie, he knows a creepy story about this neck of the woods, and his old buddy went off over here with his girlfriend and never came back.
Mm-hmm.
But then a dog brought a severed hand back with a ring on it. All right, everybody thinks he's full of shit, and he is. So there's that. This is about the time that the horny couple breaks off.
Yeah.
Now, we got the horny couple. And I got to tell you right now, buddy, this movie is a masterclass of acting.
Oh, yeah.
None of these actors went on to careers of any kind whatsoever.
Mm.
And I think they were mostly friends of Bill Hinsman.
I think so.
I I watched the bonus features on, because I own this movie. I own a physical copy of it.
Wow. With as much nudity as there is, I figured you probably did.
Of course I did. $12.50 a day is what these actors were paid.
Wow.
Yeah.
You know what?
That's what they do.
Back then, that's actually pretty good.
That's cheaper than going to the strip club for the amount of TNA in this movie.
That's probably, what, $20?
What, in today's money?
Yeah.
Yeah, probably, something like that.
Yeah.
So this is when our horny couple breaks off. And we got the guy and the girl. I think their names were Bob and Karen.
Yeah.
Karen was not an attractive young lady.
No.
She may have had a touch of Down syndrome.
Oh, my.
She did not look good, man.
No.
I don't know. She just had like that puffy face. You know what I'm saying? And she's delivering her lines, and she's just, I don't know that they even had a script for this. You know, because like you look at the actors and she's like, you know, I really like you and I just want you to like me. So here's my boobs.
Yeah.
And then the guy's like, oh, yeah, no, I like you and your boobs. I just don't know if I want to. Okay, let's just make out. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So there they go. They're making out. Now we cut to, and of course her top comes off. Now we cut to the farmer who has hooked up his tractor and he's headed back. He passes his buddy who was ripping a tree stump out of the ground. And when he rips the tree stump out of the ground, he happens upon what I can only assume that he thought was naturally buried pirate treasure, right?
Yeah.
I mean, it was clearly a fucking coffin.
Right.
Don't open the fucking coffin. Call the cops or something, dude.
Well, there was that pentagram thing on top
of
it.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, definitely don't open that fucking coffin.
Pentagram. And it was let me move this pentagram out of the way. All right. Oh, what is this? It's a coffin.
Fuck this pentagram.
Pentagram? Coffin. Oh, pirate why not?
Pirate gold.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah.
But there was like an inscription on it, too, that said, eating your flesh and turning you to evil or something like that.
Yeah, I think that was the quoting at the beginning of the movie, too.
They throw that around a little bit. Yeah. Now, the deal is, okay, so this is supposed to be an unintentional sequel to Night of the Living Dead.
Right.
There was no mention of occult anything or pentagrams or devil worship at any point in Night of the Living Dead.
Right.
All we had to go off of was a crashed Venus probe that may have had weird radiation on it from Night of the Living Dead.
Right.
Okay, whatever. We'll just forget that. We'll just sign off on this satanic thing for a second.
Mm-hmm.
Pops the coffin open, naturally. And there we have Bill Hinsman, the zombie.
Yeah.
Pops out, grabs that farmer, and bites his neck open, and there's that.
Mm-hmm.
Excellent. Now we're going to cut back to our kids. They're drinking and smoking cigarettes, and one of the girls pops her tits out for a second. Not the best set in the movie. They're okay, but she does a little dance, and then her boyfriend's like, hey, put those away. People are going to see it. all right, whatever. From there, our farmer number one stops where farmer number two was pulling the tree stump out. And he's like, hey, your tractor broke down or whatever. And then he's looking around trying to find farmer number two. And then farmer number two, who is now a zombie, gets up and bites farmer number one. Well, shit. All right. Cut back to our campsite. We've got the breaking off point where everybody separates and has sex with each other.
Mm-hmm.
We're right about there.
Right.
The one couple goes off, and Eddie, who's apparently the asshat of this group, pops up with a executioner mask, and he's like, ah, I gotcha! Oh, shit, I thought I was going to see a blowjob or something. And they get all pissed off at Eddie, so he goes back to the fire. Make-out session between these two. Everything's going good. At some point, now, this is at, like, noon. The whole thing is happening in broad daylight.
Mm-hmm.
All right, I'm all for getting hammered and, you know, having sex with my girlfriend in the woods.
There's a lot of daylight. A
lot of daylight, and everybody's, like, bundled up. It's Halloween night, so I imagine it's quite cold out, and they're planning on spending all night there. The farmer said, hey, I'll come pick you up in the morning.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, motherfuckers are going to freeze to death.
Oh, yeah.
Anyway, the one chick is like, oh, my God, I'm out of cigarettes and beer. So she goes hauling ass after farmer number one, trying to get him to pick up some cigarettes and beer while he goes back into town. And that's when farmer number two pops up and bites her in the neck. Doesn't kill her, though.
No.
Because she manages to stagger back to the campsite. Mm-hmm. All right. Now, at this point, zombie Bill Hinsman is on the loose. And he's walking around. He makes it back to the barn, where possibly Down Syndrome Karen is full on having sex. Well, I mean, as far as sex scenes go, dude, nipple in the mouth.
Yeah.
We're knocking on the door of softcore porno.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? They were going to town. Now, okay, so we gotta kind of think about zombie lore as we know it. We gotta kind of give Flesh Eater a little zombie credit card, because not a lot of this shit makes sense, but we just have to write it off.
Right.
So for starters, Bill Hinsman goes in there and he starts tussling around with Bob and Karen, who leaves her boobs out the whole time.
Mm-hmm.
Now, this isn't supposed to happen, but zombie Bill Hinsman picks up a pitchfork and stabs Bob.
Right.
Since when do zombies use weapons? Okay. I know what you're saying. And the whole time, Karen is just there screaming with her boobs out. And here's a little fun fact for you. Bill Hinsman, the writer-director/main star, every time a topless chick gets killed in this movie, it's by Bill Hinsman. And he does a pretty good job of groping her up before he kills her.
Mm-hmm.
You dirty old man, dirty Bill old Hinsman. Man.
That's why he wanted to do his own film.
That's why I did my own film, but nobody would let me fill him up, buddy.
I tried,
too. Even Jason Harrell wouldn't let me fill him up. Come on! Motherfuckers, at least take your boobs out or something. Anyway, so All right. But if this... Okay, so now let's go back to Night of the Living Dead here mm-hmm. for a second and assume that this is some half-assed sequel thereof. So if you've watched Night of the Living Dead, which mm-hmm. I know you have, you'll notice that none of the zombies run in that movie.
Correct.
Except the Bill Hinsman zombie. He runs after Barbara as the car is rolling down the hill.
Oh, yeah.
So we have to assume, if we're going to jump on the crazy train of this being a Night of the Living Dead sequel, we have to assume that Bill Hinsman is playing the exact same zombie that he was right. in Night of the Living Dead, and thus he has some extra zombie abilities, mainly squeezing boobs, because
mm-hmm.
that's what he does.
He went from running to squeezing
boobs. Squeezing boobs zombie is what yes. he is.
That'd be a great movie.
Just the boob squeezer zombie?
Yeah.
You get your boob squeezed, you turn into a zombie.
Yeah.
All right. Anyway, he holds Karen down and with her boobs out and punches her in the chest and pulls her heart out and eats it.
Right.
All right. So Bob and Karen are out of the equation. Now we cut back to our campsite where we have Lisa, who's been bit but is still alive for all intents and purposes.
Mm-hmm.
Her boyfriend, Bill, like... fireman carries her back to the campsite. Oh, my God, somebody attacked Lisa. What happened? It's that farmer. He's crazy. So everybody jump. We got to get some help. Before cell phones, mind you.
Right.
They go hauling ass. They're like, let's go back to that farmhouse we saw. They go hauling ass while they're carrying Lisa. Now, they went back to a quote-unquote farmhouse. It looked to me more like a dilapidated tool shed. Really?
Yeah.
Anyway, they
or like
get
an old barn.
Yeah, something like that. Yeah. They get about halfway there, and then I want to say his name was Sean, and his girlfriend Cindy. We'll say
sure.
Their names don't fucking matter. They break off. They're like, hey, we got to go find Bob and Karen and let them know what happened. So they go hauling ass to the makeout barn where Bob and Karen are already zombies, while the rest of the group goes to the tool shed. They get to the makeout barn. This part was pretty cool because they give like a little, hey, before they go in, like, hey, you know, put your fucking dick away.
mm-hmm.
Unfortunately, Bob has been impaled into a stack of hay and he is now, he was never bit, buddy. No. He was never bit by Bill Hinsman, but apparently in this context, that's all you need to become a zombie. You can just get impaled with a pitchfork. And then you're a zombie.
Why not?
No bite is necessary. Karen, on the other hand, is still a tits-out zombie, and she's staggering around. And so is Bob, but he's stuck to the hay bin, so he's just like... So Sean and Cindy get there, and they're like, hey, put your dick away. We got a problem. They go in there, zombie, oh shit. They go running back. Now, back at the tool shed, they run in... Now, this is a bit of a continuity issue, not that I'm paying attention, but... they get in there, the main group of kids, with Lisa, who's been bit but isn't dead yet. They go running in there, and they decide to immediately start barricading the place
mm-hmm.
and try to call for help. Why are they barricading the place?
Right.
They don't know there's zombies.
They don't know.
They think there's one crazy farmer.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Well, that's fine. we'll just write that off.
Sure.
Anyway, Bob and Karen... No, Bob and Karen are dead. They're zombies. Sean and Cindy get to the tool shed. They're like, hey, let us in. Let us in. Those things are right behind us. The kids inside don't know what things theoretically shouldn't know what right. things they're talking about. Eddie, the asshole of the group, is like, hey, fuck off. I'm not letting you in. You said those things are right behind you. So Sean is like, hey, fuck you too, Eddie. They go running around the side of the building and into a storm basement. Okay, great. Now night has finally fallen, buddy.
Yeah.
It only took about 48 hours,
mm-hmm.
but it's now nighttime. Here comes the big zombie siege. And by zombie siege, I mean Bob and Karen and the two farmers and, of course, Bill Hinsman. They get to the tool shed. This is the part where they lay Lisa down, and she's still bleeding out of the neck. She dies and reanimates, and now she's a zombie. Random brunette chick gets pulled out of the window. The zombies break in. One of the kids shoots a zombie in the face with a shotgun.
Mm-hmm.
The Lisa's boyfriend is like, Lisa, no! And he like goes to hug her, and of course she kills him, bites him into a zombie.
Mm-hmm.
And basically all the rest of our group gets killed upstairs in the tool shed while Sean and Cindy are downstairs listening to the shotgun blasts and the screaming and the zombie siege in full-on theatric chaos, buddy.
Yeah.
Very scary. Whew. Now, inexplicably, we're going to cut to a house somewhere off in the distance, a suburban neighborhood where we have some kids getting ready to go trick-or-treating.
I was waiting for like a little 3 weeks later.
15 miles away.
Yeah.
Nope. None of that. Just here we are. All right. So the one shining ray of hope here is that right before the zombies broke in, I think it was Eddie actually managed to get a phone call off to the local law enforcement.
Yeah.
And they thought he was full of shit, but luckily for him, they dispatched somebody to go to the farmer's place and check the whole thing out.
Yeah.
So good news. Help is possibly on the way, but in a very snarky, sarcastic kind of a way. Okay, great. Now we cut to Halloween night, family getting ready to go trick-or-treating. We have little girl dressed up as an angel.
Angel.
Mm-hmm. Little boy, probably 10, 11 years old, dressed up as a...
pirate?
I thought of...
like an old man pirate?
Loser. I don't know. He just had a 5 o'clock shadow. That was it. Yeah. I don't know. That's all you get. Mom is there. She's making candy apples and doing makeup. And upstairs we have what I guess is an older sister slash babysitter
mm-hmm.
who's taking a very unnecessary shower Dude. For about 6.5 minutes.
Holy cow, this chick. She was smoking.
You think so?
Yeah, well, you know, she had a butterface.
But. I was about to say, a bit of a butterface, really. Yeah. Nice body on her, though.
Oh, yeah.
And we get a good, 8 to 10 minutes of her just looking Holy naked cow. In the mirror and then getting in the shower and soaping up and then getting out and then drying off. Bill Hinsman, baby.
She got $40 an hour.
Yeah, I hope so.
Poor day, I mean.
Because she didn't get to wear any clothes the whole movie, I don't think. Got a towel, but that was promptly ripped off.
Wow.
Yes, sir. There you go.
Mm-hmm.
Downstairs, we have the kids getting ready to go trick-or-treating. They're waiting on their dad to get home, so they can all go together. While the makeup's getting done, we get a banging on the door. Mom tells the little girl to go answer the door. She answers it, and it's Bill Hinsman.
Yeah.
And he's like, Rawr! And she's like, wow, cool makeup. And then he picks her up and bites her neck off.
Mm-hmm.
That was actually Bill Hinsman's daughter playing the little girl.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, so, that's pretty cool.
Yeah. I don't see. Now, okay. If I'm making a movie and I'm putting my little girl in it, I'm going to be a little less sleazy with the boob grabbing. You know what I'm saying?
Well, I'm sure she wasn't there for that take.
Well, no, but eventually she's going to watch the movie because she was in it, right?
I didn't know, Dad. You were such a dirty old man.
Exactly right.
Oh, come on.
Exactly right, buddy. God. All right, whatever. I mean, Dario Argento puts his daughter in movies and makes her get naked all the time, so...
That's weird.
But she was about over the age of 9.
Okay.
Well, as far as I know.
But still.
I don't know. It's just kind of weird.
My daughter's 18. I don't want to put her in a naked movie.
No. even if she is. Well, I wouldn't. Okay. So if my kids were in a movie and there was naked chicks in it, that's fine. They can be in it. They're not going to watch it. But more to the point, if I'm also in the movie, I don't want to be the rapist. You know
right,
what I mean?
Yeah.
Or the fucking deviant or anything. Because eventually they will watch it and be like, Dad. I don't think that take was necessary. You know what I mean? I don't know.
That's it seemed like a good idea at the time.
Well, you know, there was a boob. I just grabbed it.
Yeah.
Anyway, so the kid is out. Bill Hinsman is there. Mom is like, hey, shut the door already. She comes out, sees her kid laying on the ground. So she comes out, oh my God. And then Bill Hinsman grabs her from behind and eats her. Now, this part is kind of funny because the little boy sees all this and he's like, oh, hell no. Goes running out the back door where there's one zombie just casually waiting there for him.
Yeah.
These zombies are using coordinated attack patterns.
Barely so.
Ambush tactics, buddy. So they have staked out all the exits of the house. And know which direction they're going to run, so booyah. About that time, we cut back to our naked debutante upstairs,
mm-hmm.
and Bill Hinsman comes in and tussles about with her, and for a good, 5 or 6 seconds, He's just got his... He throws her on the bed. She's covered up with a towel. And he is just full on feeling... Squeezing boobs.
Oh, yeah, he is.
I sent you and Jason a screen grab of this. Because yeah. He is just full on. Fucking tune in Tokyo, baby.
Oh, he is.
Yeah. And then he rips her towel open and there's her boobs. And then he bites her neck open and now she's a zombie.
I'm surprised he didn't go for the biting of the breast.
Just give a little...
Biting the breast. You're good.
You know what? I'm the finger banging zombie. I'm gonna go ahead and finger you. Night of the Fingering Dead. Oh, my shit. Kids are gonna see this. God.
Oh goodness.
Gross. Anyway, so that happens. Now we cut back to our tool shed, where everything is finally quieted down. We cut to our local sheriff, who gets the dispatch call. Hey, there's a bunch of drunk kids at the tool shed. You better go check it out. He's like, oh, drunk kids, huh? Okay, I'll go settle their hash. So he rolls up to the tool shed, throws on his lights, and puts on his loudspeaker thing. All right, you drunk shits, get out here. And then now all those kids from the initial hayride are all zombies, mm-hmm. So they all come staggering out. And he's like, hey, stop it, hey. And then he shoots one of them two or three times. Mm-hmm. They don't stop. Then he shoots another one in the head, and it goes down. But he jumps back in his car, and now these zombies are using tools also because they're smashing the windows.
Yeah.
But we get some very cool dialogue as he's reporting back to the dispatcher. Hey, I think these kids are dead. They're going to kill my ass. Hey, send somebody out here. I shot them two or three times. They're not going down. That's pretty crazy.
Yeah.
Again, these are not paid actors.
Right.
These are people that, I don't know, Bill Hinsman knew or talked into being in this fucking movie. So there's that. Eventually, they get in there and they eat the cop. And then they all go walking off. That's about the time that Sean and Cindy come out of the storm cellar. They're like, oh, shit, they killed the cop. The cop's face has been completely eaten off.
Oh, yeah.
But they're like, oh, okay, maybe we get on the radio. As they reach into the car to get on the radio to call more cops, the cop starts to reanimate. So they just grab his gun and shoot him in the head. And then off they go.
Mm-hmm.
From here, we get a whole lot of silliness, really, because this is where the movie goes from zombie horror film to college sex comedy.
Yeah.
We cut to a nearby Halloween party happening in a barn,
mm-hmm.
which I guess rural Pennsylvania.
Why not?
Why not have it in a barn? It's got to be fucking freezing out there, though, dude.
Well, you're wearing all that costume.
Not really, because there was a couple of chicks just there in true. Bikinis.
Yeah,
they're going to get hypothermia.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. Whatever. Anyway, we got a fucking a really lame college party happening in a barn.
Dancing in it.
Oh, it's terrible. We have Dracula, who's clearly too drunk. Mm-hmm. We have Karate Guy, who's about to score. We have like three or four chicks just wearing like hula skirts and bikinis.
Yeah.
Complaining about how big assholes their boyfriends are. I think there was a guy in a chicken suit. He's going to stay warm.
Yeah.
He had the full chicken Monty.
Mm-hmm.
He's probably insulated. And then we're just going to pretend this zombie thing, we're just going to put that on like the back burner for a good probably 20 minutes.
Yeah.
Where we're just going to hang in this party. Dracula's too fucking drunk and he's complaining that nobody showed up. College floozy number three drags Karate Guy off to a hay barn where she's going to fuck him. But we get some fun dialogue before they do.
Oh, my God.
She can't remember his name, and she's telling him, like, how particular she is about who's going to get – who she hangs out with and all that shit while she's, like, topless on top of him, grinding him.
Mm-hmm.
So – and he's like, yeah, okay, yeah, you're very sophisticated. And she's like, yeah, and I'm really picky, and my parents are worried about me. Look at my boobs.
I know.
So this goes on for a while.
Yeah. I'm not a slut.
No.
Look at my boobs. Here, I'm riding you.
No, of course not. I'm very particular, Steve. My name's Dale, by the way. And then we cut back downstairs where the hula girls just keep complaining about their boyfriends and the chicken suit and the drunk Dracula. This goes on, man. This is like a 10-minute situation. And then we get some slow dancing between a couple of them. And then we get drunk Dracula staggering around.
I want to know more about the radio host.
Yeah, the radio host.
He was cool.
He was. And he seemed like, for a second, like he knew about the zombies. Because he's like, hey, if any ghouls ask you to dance. Just say no.
Yeah.
Well, is he talking about like the real zombies? Or is he just I know. Being a fuckface? I don't know. Anyway, this goes on. And finally, after about 10, 15 minutes of this, Sean and Cindy make their way to the party. And they're like, we're going to get in there and warn them. So they go running in there. They're like, hey, zombies are coming. Zombies are coming. And Drunk Dracula's like, what? No. Blah. I don't know you guys. You don't even wear costumes. You got to get out of here. Right behind him walks an actual zombie, but it's like one of the chicks from the campfire.
Right.
So Drunk Dracula is thinking,
great costume.
Hey, I'm going to suck your face. And he puts his plastic fangs in.
Yeah.
And then, of course, the zombie bites him open, and a bunch of other zombies come in and basically eat everybody there in the party. Now, we don't really see what happened to Sean and Cindy, mm-mm. except that they jump over a couple of hay bales, and then from there, we get them just kind of huddled in a dark place. We'll find out a little bit more about it as mm-hmm. the story goes on. Doesn't make a lot of sense, but no. That's fine. The college floozy with the karate guy come down and they scream and freak out. And of course, she's still got her boobs out. Mm-hmm. And of course, Bill Hinsman is the one to kill her also.
Oh, yeah.
He like gets up behind her and punches through her boobs mm-hmm. and pulls her whatever guts out through between her boobs. What a fucking dirty old man.
I know, right? I mean?
God. Oh, I wonder if that was in the contract that you're going to get felt up by a 60-year-old Bill Hinsman. Under the shirt, even.
Yeah.
That's the weird part. I don't, all right, whatever. Yeah. So from there.
As long as I'm a movie star.
Yeah. $12.50 a day? Sure. Yeah. All righty. Whatever you
that's
say there.
Gas money.
So from there, it's like zombie chaos as more zombies pour in and the kids from the party get systematically eaten. They all die, of course, and get turned into zombies. Now we're going to cut to a news station somewhere nearby where news of this zombie outbreak is like starting to spread.
Right.
They don't really believe it. They hand it to the local anchorman woman or whatever.
You're reading this one.
Yeah, you're reading this one. Okay, this just in, everybody. Apparently, the flesh-eating ghouls are back, so look out on Halloween night. Woo! but now, apparently, at some point, because now we're going to jump directly to the next morning.
Yeah.
Possibly even the next afternoon, by the looks of it. Now we have decided that this is a problem of some magnitude. Mm-hmm. Law enforcement is mobilized, and by law enforcement, I mean one cop and about 25 rubes who just show up on the side of the road.
Mm-hmm.
And they're like, okay, we're going to get these zombies. And you can see the party kids kind of staggering through the field behind them, and they turn around. It's basically this ending sequence of Night of the Living Dead, just with some topless chicks.
Yeah.
And it's in color, so there's that. Bang, 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 shoot them all down. They've got, apparently, the majority of the kids from the party are still in the barn, and they're all zombies. So the law enforcement slash rubes kind of surround the barn, and they're like, okay, they're in there. So they come staggering out. Unfortunately, this is where we now find out that Sean and Cindy had, I guess, just hidden behind some hay bales while all the chaos was ensuing.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, way to help out, guys. You probably could have saved a couple of those kids. Oh, I've completely forgot to mention that while they were hiding out behind the hay bales, they decided to get married. Oh,
yeah.
Love.
That's when you know something's going to happen.
Yeah, you know this isn't going to end well.
Let's just talk about our future.
I think you're the one. I think you're the one, too, if we live.
Yeah.
All right, you fuckers. So now law enforcement again has surrounded the barn. All the zombies come pouring out. Sean and Cindy hear the gunshots and they're like, oh, cops are here. They're going to save us. So they go running out there, too. And in classic Night of the Living Dead style, the cops shoot Sean and Cindy.
Mm-hmm.
Kill them both dead. But they kind of die like he's got his arm around her.
Yeah.
So I guess a happy ending, kind of. They didn't turn into zombies, but they still didn't make it to the end.
No.
So I mean, same thing happened to Ben at the end of Night of Living Dead.
Not quite a happy ending for the dude, though, because she got shot first.
Yeah, he didn't even
He didn't
even get to, like, see her boobs, I don't think.
No, I don't think so.
Shit! Whatever. Should have went with one of those floozies from the campfire.
That's right.
And that's when the cops are like, okay, we've got them all. Let's burn this barn down. So they burn the barn down.
Mm-hmm.
And then a little while later, the main sheriff or whoever's left of him is like poking around in the wreckage. And he sees all the burned up zombies. And then out pops Bill Hinman. And he's still a zombie. And he bites open the cop. And that's pretty much the end of your movie.
Yeah.
And that was Flesh Eater, buddy.
Mm-hmm.
What do you think of that one?
Yeah, it's okay.
I love it. I love this movie. It's creepy to watch.
It is creepy to watch.
Creepy old Bill Hinsman just grabbing teenage boobs left and right.
It's humorous.
I don't know if that's the
word. Watch a groping zombie.
Just one. All the other zombies are fine. They're just looking to kill you. The one that can use tools and run real fast. He's the one.
That's the one you got to look out for.
He's not looking to kill you.
He's looking to grope you.
He's got some other plans.
Yeah.
He may have condoms in his pocket. Just so that's you right. Know. I love this movie, buddy. To me, it is probably the benchmark of what every drive-in movie should be.
I get it.
You got blood, boobs, beasts.
Yeah.
It's the acting is absolutely abysmal.
Shit.
There is no acting. I think they just said get in there,
have fun.
Fuck around with each other for a few minutes and then we'll send the zombies in.
And girls, take off your clothes.
Yeah,
the tops, you know.
Give me a nipple count over here, please.
I need a shower, girl.
Yeah. Who wants to be the extra $14 for the shower?
That's right.
I love it, man. I love this movie. I'm sorry. It's bad. I can tell you right now, it's bad. It is not a good movie.
No.
It is riddled with plot holes.
Mm-hmm.
Bill Hinsman is creepy as shit. There's a lot that just doesn't make a fucking lick of sense about it.
Mm-mm.
It's fine. It's fine. Zombies.
Yeah.
There you have it. Zombies and boobs.
Zombies
in 1988. And boobs. I don't think you can do much better.
All right.
It's streaming right now on Tubi, inmates.
Mm-hmm.
I think it was Vinegar Syndrome has a Steelbook 4K resolution thing.
Wow.
In case
you really want to watch him grope.
I will probably break down and buy that at some point.
Oh, yeah.
I have my copy is DVD. It's got some bonus features on it.
Yeah, does it have unrated version?
I don't know what that's where he does do the finger banger.
Uh-huh.
Finger banging zombies. He just comes out with these giant fingers. You're nasty. All right, buddy, let's take us a break then.
Yeah.
I'm going to watch it again.
Hey, inmates. If you like what you hear, head over to the Padded Room Facebook group and support us through the patron link with a small monthly donation. Check out the T-Villain link at paddedroom.podbean.com and grab some t-shirts. Thanks for listening and enjoy the rest of the show.
And we're back, buddy.
Yeah.
Yes, sir. I think it's time for three on a meat hook.
Yeah.
Three on a meat hook.
This week's meat hook. Top three, I guess I should say bottom three, most hated zombie movies. I got my three ready. You got your three?
Yes.
Give me number three, buddy.
Zombie Nightmare.
That's a bad movie. I would say that one might be so bad it's good, though.
I don't know.
Have you seen it?
Yes.
Well, clearly. So I got a soft spot for zombie movies that only have one zombie. You know what I'm saying? And that's kind of like where this one fits in, because you have it's almost like The Crow before The Crow. If you took The Crow, took all of his guns, or just basically turn him into a flesh eating automaton, and he's going to go get revenge on all the people that killed him. And then go right back in the ground. That's pretty much Zombie Nightmare.
Yeah.
But with a very, very low budget and some ridiculous.
You know, the first time I saw this was on like a Mystery Science Theater 3000.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah.
I'm sure they ripped it to shreds.
Oh, yeah. It's bad. And I remember going, what the hell was this movie they were watching? I was like trying to look into it, find out what the hell what was really going on.
Oh, yeah. It's bad. I think it might be so bad it's good. You know,
I don't know,
but I got a soft spot for bad zombie movies, and as I recall, there's some plenty TNA in that one also.
I think
the zombie goes to a strip club at one point.
Yes,
that part was all right, and that's we're talking like 1982 strip club too.
Yeah,
with all the glitter and the teased hair.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, sir. My number three, House of the Dead.
Oh,
you seen
yeah.
that one? The UA Bowl I classic.
Thought about that one.
I'm not mad at movies based on video games. I am mad at bad movies.
Yeah.
And when you put little life bars on the side of the screen for the
It takes away from the movie.
What are you doing, dude? Yeah. What are you doing?
Yeah.
And
then they like turn a corner, it's like
Yeah, and every time one of the characters dies, they get like a little spinny death thing where base player eliminated. Okay, that's bad.
It's like, we know this is based off a video game. You don't need to make it look like a video game.
There is so much stupid shit. It's
one of the problems I have with Doom.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Well, the one with The Rock?
Yeah.
The new one's a lot better.
Okay.
The one that went straight to Netflix?
Okay.
That one makes a lot more sense. This one's bad, dude. It not only does it have very little to do with the video game, not that I'm a big House of the Dead aficionado or anything, but just like some of the dipshit dialogue, nothing makes any fucking sense. It's just a really bad movie, you know? You got some zombies run, some of them lumber, some of them crawl. What? Get it together, UA Bowl.
Yeah.
Terrible. Terrible movie. Bad movie all the way around. How about number two there, buddy?
Number two, Oasis of the Zombies.
Oh, that's the one with the head on a stick.
Yes. It's got like like a Nazi treasure.
Yes.
Yeah.
I completely forgot about that. I think we did that on Shock Treatment at one point. Yeah. There is one zombie that is literally clearly like a skull on a stick, and you can see the stick and the head's just
the head's
gone,
on, yeah. Yep. That one.
That's bad. That's a bad movie. It's been a long time since I've seen it. Is it so bad? I don't think it's so bad it's good. I think it's just terrible.
It is.
Oasis. I completely forgot about Oasis of the Zombies. Right on.
Yeah, thanks to you, I watched that one.
That a boy, buddy. That a boy. Way to get in there. My number two is the 2006 Day of the Dead remake with Nick Cannon and Mino Savari.
Yeah.
Now, this one is bad, but it's worse because they called it Day of the Dead. It has nothing to do with the original Day of the Dead. And what makes it even worse is it's 2 years removed from Zack Snyder's kick-ass Dawn of the Dead remake, which fucking blew us all away with how good it was.
Yeah.
So then we get this Day of the Dead remake, and we're all jumping up and down going, like, yeah, it's about time. And you got fucking Spider-Man zombies that can crawl up walls.
Yeah.
You got them jumping over fucking buildings. You got Nick Cannon, who can't act his way out of a paper bag, but is trying desperately to make himself into some kind of an action movie star. All 92 pounds of him. Ving Rhames, was it Ving? Yeah, I think Ving Rhames was in it for like 4 minutes before he died. Just that. I wouldn't be as mad at it if they had just called it like
something else besides the Dead.
Yeah, zombie fuckers or whatever.
Yeah.
But they tried to make it a Day of the Dead remake.
Mm-hmm.
And it had nothing to do with it at all. Whatsoever. Mm-hmm. Bad. Bad one. How about number one, buddy?
The Quick and the Undead.
The Quick and the Undead. That sounds...
It's like a dystopian zombie film.
Okay.
Like in the future. It was inspired by Clint Eastwood, like, type movies. Okay. I know.
I don't think I've ever heard of it.
2006.
That's not the one with all the boy bands in it, is it?
No.
Okay. That one was actually not bad. That makes sense. I've never seen it. I'm sure it's bad.
Yeah.
What
check
did
it
you,
out.
What did you... Well, maybe I will. What did you hate the most about it?
Just the whole thing. It's just one of those where it's like you start watching it, you just want to fast forward it.
I get that. That, I think, is actually worse than a bad movie.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, at this point...
I've already invested time in it. I don't want to just back out of it, because then it's like... Ugh.
I'm already an hour in.
Yeah.
I can tough it out for another 22 minutes or whatever. That's the worst. But I think we've hit a point in our horror fandom where, like, we're about the same age, buddy. When we were growing up... That doesn't look at all familiar.
Okay.
So, based on your review, I'm probably going to pass. But when we were growing up, dude, we'd get like 3 or 4 horror movies a year.
Uh-huh.
And they would hit the theater. We'd go see them. And then we'd have to wait.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes we'd go months without another horror movie coming out.
Yes.
Now, I'm sure there have been at least 6 of them that have been released since we started recording this podcast. You know what I mean? We're never going to catch up.
Mm-hmm.
But the thing that gets me... is that there's a lot of movies that get released that clearly have no artistic value. They were made, produced, shot, and directed with the sole purpose of turning a profit.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? And they are completely forgettable
in
every single way. You get, you know, like you just said, you're 45 minutes into it, and you're like, there is not an original atom that has been put into this movie.
Right.
This is a low-budget remake of, I don't know, fucking Interview with a Vampire, but not as good, and with a bunch of half-ass actors and some really shitty special effects.
Yeah.
But, because I'm already 40 minutes in, I'm going to sit here until the end credits.
Yep, and bitch and complain the entire time.
You betcha. As soon as it's over, I'm going to completely wipe it from my memory, and I'll probably put it on again in a month or two, because I forgot the fucking name. I thought, this motherfucker, I'm watching it again!
Yep.
Shit!
Yeah.
I hate that. And I think that's, in a way, almost worse than a bad movie.
Yeah.
Like our movie, for example. Zero budget. No distribution. If you want to watch it, you have to actually look for that fucking thing. It's not just going to pop up on Tubi.
No.
But we believed that we were making a genuinely good film.
Yeah.
It didn't turn out that way.
I liked it.
I'm not mad at it.
I shaved my head for that role.
You did. You did a wonderful job, sir. My number one is, of course, Diary of the Dead. It's terrible. It's bad, and what makes it so much worse is that it's written and directed by George Romero, who had no business making a found footage movie.
Right.
It is riddled with plot holes and inconsistencies, and a lot of that I could overlook if it wasn't made by George Romero, whom I know knows better than to make those mistakes. So that, to me, it almost felt like a personal attack to me because I've always been a George Romero guy.
I know. Every time you see his name pop in a movie, he's like, oh, I got to watch
that. I love Night of the Living Dead, Dawn of the Dead, the original Day of the Dead, beautiful. I even stood up for Land of the Dead. I didn't think it was as bad as everybody made it out to be. And then comes Diary of the Dead. And that was like a slap in the fucking face, man.
That was a bad one.
That was so bad. I'll take Survival of the Dead over Diary of the Dead any day of the week. I mean, Survival of the Dead ain't much better. But at least he got rid of the found footage thing, because clearly he didn't know what the fuck he was doing.
Yeah. I wonder if he was experimenting. I don't know.
Well, he probably should have done it in private.
Yeah.
You know? Sure, make the movie. Show it to a couple of your friends. Friends that are going to be honest with you.
Yeah, I was going to say.
Be like, hey, what do you
think? Not yes friends.
Oh, this is crap. Oh, fuck, you're right. It is crap. All right.
Yeah.
Just scrap
Scratch it.
Back to the drawing board. Yep. All right, that is our meat hook for the weekend, mates. It is worst zombie movies you've ever seen. And by that, I don't mean worst as in bad movies. I mean the ones that you fucking hated and pissed you off. Let us know by next week if you have time. Mental Health Hotline is area code 775-387-0275. Or you get us on the regular old email. Just go to paddedroompodcast.com. You'll find out how to get a hold of us there. In the meantime, buddy, it's time for me to tell you what movies I got to watch this week.
All right.
What are you looking at?
What are you looking at?
Did you know that the month of April is actually like exactly halfway to Halloween?
Yes.
For that, I'm going to try and do 30 for 30.
Oh, that's for April.
Yes, that's what I'm going to try and do. See how far I can get into it.
Even if you could do half the amount of films.
I mean, that would make sense since we're halfway there. Right? Yeah. I'll do a 15 for 30. I don't know. That doesn't have the same ring to it.
No.
I started with My Bloody Valentine from 1981.
Oh, right.
The original. Mm-hmm. That's a great slasher.
Yeah, it is. Yeah.
I don't think you can get much creepier than a mine, you know?
Right.
And you get the kids hammered and the miners, and they, oh, let's go down to the mine. Mm-hmm. That's probably the worst idea ever. Never mind the crazy guy with the pickaxe and the gas mask. Somebody's going to go down there and fall down a shaft or something.
Yeah.
You know? Or at the very least, get like, I don't know, those little mites in your vagina, the little mine mite. They have like little critters down there, dude. Mm-hmm. Stay out of the fucking mines, bro. I mean,
stay out of my vagina
and your and buddy's vagina. mine shaft his vagina. Off limits, bro. Off limits. Still a great movie. Went ahead and picked up the steel box from Shout Factory, if I recall.
Nice.
Also watched The Crow: Salvation from 2000. That one just got the Blu-ray treatment from Shout Factory also, so I thought, since I'm buying that one, I might as well buy that. I'm trying to complete my Crow collection, so I got the first one, City of Angels, Salvation. You can't find Wicked Prayer anywhere.
I wonder why.
Because nobody wants to fucking watch it. Yeah. If it ever shows up, I'll buy it, just because I'm a completionist, but I'll probably never watch it, piece of shit. Yeah.
Now you got to save your money for the new one.
Yeah, of course. Crow: Salvation, not as bad as I remembered. It's got Eric Mabius, who you might recall as Matt from Resident Evil.
Oh, yeah.
He is the Crow in this one. CGI heavy. You know, it's not, you're not going to do as good as the first one.
No.
It's not as good as the second one either, but it's not as bad as I remember.
Right.
So for, I mean, there's some boobs in there and some people get shot in the face and stuff, but I don't, it just had a very, forgettable Crow. You know, Eric Mabius, he didn't have that panache that Brandon Lee did.
Right.
You know, I don't know. It's fine, I suppose. And then today, just before you got here, I rewatched Hellraiser from 2022. Okay. Now with this news of a possible sequel coming out, I wanted to freshen up on that. I'm still on the fence about it.
Yeah.
I really don't like the look of Pinhead and the Cenobites.
Yeah, same here.
I really like the look of the new toy maker's box and the various configurations,
right,
and the way it's going to fuck you up all these different possible ways.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know, man. I need the black leather, I think.
Yeah.
That's kind of a staple.
It really is.
For the Hellraisers. And I get what they were trying to do with all the steampunk stuff.
Yeah.
And all the gears and the cogs and all that. But they were still pink.
Mm-hmm.
I can't have pink Cenobites.
I know.
It was supposed to be like exposed flesh and muscle and stuff.
Right.
But they're still pink.
It just doesn't scare you as much.
They're just fucking pink. And yeah. Then the one that had it's like its head split open, it looked like rabbit ears.
Yeah.
You know? Let's work on that. Mm-hmm. All right. And let's bring it back to the sex club.
Take it back to the drawing board.
Let's go back to the sex club Cenobites, because they're scary and they look like they want to have sex with me, mm-hmm. buddy. You know? Yeah. I don't know that I want to touch them. They're aggressively, you know, sending me emails about when we're going to hook up and stuff.
Oh.
So, that's just me. That's all I'm looking at.
Huh? Hey, let's hook up.
I have such sights to show you
that's
in
right.
the Motel 6 behind the Costco. Whoa! I'm a married man there, Pinhead. Take it easy. That's all I'm looking at, big guy. What do you got?
I got nothing this week.
All righty. How about some immersion therapy, then?
Yeah.
Immersion therapy.
You know what I think my biggest problem with The Dead Zone was?
Huh.
And this isn't so much about the movie. I've tried to read the book many times, and it just bores me to tears. So much with the relationship drama.
Oh, yeah.
You come out of a coma. Your girlfriend, who kind of put you in a coma, is now married with a couple of kids,
mm-hmm.
but she's okay with you coming by to bang her.
Right.
So that's a little shady, but I guess if you had to give your wife a free pass, that would probably be the only way, right? Because he was in a coma, but you settled. I don't know. I'm just putting it out there. I don't know.
Makes you feel bad for Christopher Walken. It's like you said, he's, you know, like
up.
It just happened yesterday.
Yeah.
You know?
And now you've got three, four kids with this other mm-hmm. dude? Fuck. I can barely walk. Really, I feel like the movie and the book should have ended right after the cop killed himself with the pair of scissors.
Yes.
Which, by the way, is...
It was like two movies in one.
Yeah, and then after that, we get into all this political crap, and mm-hmm. it really slows down.
Mm-hmm.
And that was my biggest problem with it. What did you think of Dead Zone?
I like it. It's one of my favorites.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Did you ever read the book?
Nope.
Okay.
Mm-mm.
It's pretty boring.
Yeah.
So there's that.
I can imagine that.
What do you got for us this week, big guy?
All right, this week, let's check out 2021's Titane.
Oh!
Yeah. Following a series of unexplained crimes, a father is reunited with the son who has been missing for 10 years. And you'll find this gem on Hulu.
Don't try to watch this one with the kids.
No, definitely not.
It's going to raise some questions that I don't even have answers to. And what exactly, well, I'm not going to ruin it.
But very explicit is from what I read.
That's probably the best way of thinking about it, yeah. Check that shit out, inmates. We'll do the same, and we can compare notes next week.
Mm-hmm.
But now it is time to educate me.
Educating Miss Monica.
First, my clues from last week. I am part of a hazmat crew that was sent to de-asbestos this abandoned building. Unfortunately, I got my whole workforce here is a bunch of losers that wants to do a bunch of other shit in the abandoned building besides their fucking jobs. And we stumbled across a bunch of rare coins, pretty cool. Also some case files and audio tapes And one of my guys just can't stop listening to the tapes. The other guy took off trying to find more coins. Now I'm finding their dead bodies all over the place.
Wow.
I am, of course, Session 9, buddy.
Mm-hmm.
You ever seen that one?
Yeah, been a minute, but I've seen it.
It's a good show.
Yeah.
I'm a little ambiguous as to the ending of it.
Yeah.
Because I think I know what happened, but I don't think I really know what happened. Mm-hmm. Or if I'm probably way off base because I'm not too sharp with these crazy movie endings, man. Mm-hmm. Who might I be this week, you ask? Well, buddy, I am a college professor, and I have recently been given a research grant to look into and either kind of prove or disprove the existence of psychic energy and paranormal activity. Now, to do so, I've rounded up a bunch of psychics. I have to pay them, of course, and I'm going to take them to a house that is known to be haunted and has a bad history of, like, building itself and rearranging itself. And it just kind of, you go in there one day, you'll count 48 bedrooms. You go in there the next day, you'll count 17. Go in there the day after that, there'll be 112. What the hell's going on? I don't know. This house has a crazy history with people disappearing in it left and right. I'm going to bring these psychic knuckleheads in here, and hopefully we can either get some kind of evidence or really just not all get killed, I think would be the best way for best possible ending to this is just come out of here with one or two of us still alive and hopefully not possessed by a weird ancient aristocrat with a sex perv thing. I'm going on. Who might I be, inmates? Tune in next week and I will drop some knowledge on you. In the meantime, I think that's about it for me. Buddy, you got anything else on the week?
No.
All righty. Join us next week for Zombie Night from 2013 here in Zombie Month, the Padded Room. Like, comment, subscribe wherever you found this podcast. That helps our visibility quite a bit. If you feel like doing a little extra, just head over to paddedroompodcast.com. We got a Patreon link there. All kinds of fun fucking prize tiers and swag that we can send to you. Other than that, I think that's about it. So for Buddy, Jason in absentia, haunted houses that keep building themselves, horny, dirty old man zombies, and the topless chicks that they grope to death, which you didn't think was possible. You didn't think that would be listed on a death certificate, that she was groped to death.
Right.
And then groped back to life, apparently, because then you get up and grope other people.
Mm-hmm.
Groping zombie outbreak, buddy.
Oh, yeah.
That's a hell of a way for the world to end. Maybe being a zombie ain't so bad. And the Padded Room Podcast. I'm afraid visiting hours are over.
Bye, and have a great week. My heels are